each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
All right. I'm excited to be here. I'm scrambling into my seat. I even got a late start this morning. I slept late. I feel bad about that. But I've got my act together. Petra, of course, keeps it all in line. That's Petra Harpik in the booth managing our show. And I'm Grady Deaton. Happy to be with everybody today. Very happy to have returning to our airwaves, Mike Carpenter. He was the pilot who came on yesterday and gave us a report from the Yukon. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mike Carpenter, are you with us?
I'm here, Grady.
Did your kids get the chance to hear you say hi to them?
They did indeed, and they thought that was great.
Spectacular. What do you have to report to us about the state of the river?
Well, I tell you, early yesterday morning, we developed a northeast wind here in St. Mary's that any of the existing fragmented ice in the river blew to the south shore of the Yukon around here. So the river is, by and large, clear of ice and debris. Now that's St. Mary's down through Mountain Village area. I have spoken to pilots that were flying into Russian Mission, though, and they are saying that Grayling to Russian Mission is bank-to-bank pan ice and probably around to Devil's Elbow below or just above Marshall. So there is definitely some more ice going to be coming down the river. I don't know when that's going to break loose and start floating this way, but that's what I know about the river today.
Spectacular. That's more than I know, and I appreciate you giving me a heads up, and our listeners, I'm sure, appreciate it as well. Having guests like yourself call in and be on the air really provides a great deal of value for our listeners, and I want to thank you a great deal for that.
You bet.
So I guess you have more important things to do than chat with us, so I want to thank you and say good morning. Have an excellent day, Mike.
All right, you too.
And fortunately, Mike's not the only thing on the lineup here. Petrick has another guest in the studio here with me today. I'm excited to introduce to all of you and to greet Nicholas Hoover. Nicholas is the program administrator for AVCP's Family Service Center. That includes several AVCP departments and programs, which I'll let him touch base on. But more important than that, I'm sure to him, is we're getting close to his son's graduation. Bray's graduating. You have five kiddos. We got to say hi to kiddos. We got to congratulate Bray. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yep. Five kids. Bray is our eldest, graduating today from BRHS. Chelsea, Destiny, Sage, and Michael.
Spectacular. Shout out to that whole clan and a big congratulations to Bray. I know that AVCP has some restructuring of the administration and quality improvement processes, and that has created your role as well as some other program administrators. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that restructuring of the quality improvement process and how that relates to your role there at AVCP with the departments and programs you lead?
Sure. So AVCP has been going through the quality improvement process for the past couple of years. That includes right-sizing the ship. So we've done some reorganizing, the structure to our organizational chart. We took all the departments and we created these groups. So I'm the administrative oversight for the Family Service Center, which includes TANF, ICWA, Healthy Families, Voc Rehab, and Social Services.
So now I'm actually quite interested in ICWA. We're going to have future guests. I was here lucky enough to have Valerie Andrew in and school me on ICWA and the ICWA workers that are out in villages and the foster program and all that. I understand that the Indian Child Welfare Act guarantees the rights of tribes as it relates to social services and children, and that the ICWA workers, as well as the group that you oversee, guarantees that right. Am I getting that right?
Guarantees that right.
Or make sure. Tell me.
We're here to try to improve the services regarding Indian and Alaskan Native children. So, you know, the purpose is to eliminate or reduce, you know, children being removed from their families, their communities, or even this region. So, you know, it's good, a lot of good work.
A lot of good work they do. I know the hypothetical that we spun out was I'm First Nation Chickasaw, and if my children were here in town and for some reason got involved with an OCS case, and if my tribe, if the Chickasaw define family in a way that allows me to, say, define Petra as my auntie and be a caregiver for my kid, that you would be the advocate that would be able to step in and communicate the rights of the Chickasaw Nation to OCS so that they can be defined. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean,
the services that our program provides is intervention, you know, getting involved in the child's case. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some more ICWA advocates coming into Coffee Talk in a couple weeks. I know that Megan Senny, Hazel Keyser, and Francis Bailey are all going to come in and talk about ICWA, and they're going to explain how they advocate for children in foster care, which lets me segue to something I think that we're really all interested in seeing more of, and that's more foster parents, locals.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about how much of the need is addressed by current foster parents, and how much that need is. Like, I think that is it only 10%, or is it?
I don't have the numbers to answer that.
All right. Well, I do believe, and I'm just calling from memory because I didn't write it down. When Valerie was here, it was something like 10% of the foster need is met locally. I may have my number switched around, and I hate being wrong, but the key takeaway is there is a need that needs to be filled by our local community so that our kids don't end up in Anchorage. Say they can be here with family and extended family, and the way that we can be a part of that is by stepping up to the plate. If we are of the kind that can foster kiddos, getting in touch with ICWA, the ICWA group at ABCP, is one way to get in the mix. You'll connect them with the foster program, get them certified as foster parents. Tell me a little bit about the new memorandum of agreement that's between the ABCP and the tribes who've compacted services with ABCP. That's another development there.
Yes, so that's new for this year. You know, we have a memorandum of agreement for the tribes that, you know, chose to compact their ICWA services with ABCP. So this MOA is basically, you know, essentially a contract between us and the tribe. But it does a lot of clarifying, you know, of the roles between ABCP and the tribe regarding the ICWA worker at the villages.
So I guess I understand that the reason for a new agreement is just to further identify where the oversight lies for what we call them, the ICWA workers. These are the people that actually manage the ICWA process out at the tribal level, out at the village level.
Yes.
All right. And you know, we spoke a little bit when Valerie was in about the recent graduates from RHS. Those are the exact types of students that funnel into those ICWA workers out in the village. So I can't talk enough positive things about the RHS program. I'm a big fan. How do you think that the MOA that we just spoke about will help foster children receive better care?
You know, by improving the structure or the ABCP structure, mm-hmm. It, you know, further clarifies, you know, what the services that we'll provide through the ICWA worker, you know, how we're working with the tribes, because it is important for them to have a voice in any child's case. So it outlines that. You know, I think a big issue in the past was, you know, who actually supervises an ICWA worker. So this MOA really clarifies, you know, the roles, because essentially that is an ABCP employee, and, you know, we need the ability to supervise that person.
You know, you might be looking. I saw that you looked over my shoulder when Petra turned the screen over here. She's getting on me for forgetting Well, I had Mike on the line. I was supposed to shout out to our listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we're really interested in knowing where the smelts are at, you know, coming up along the river.
Aren't they by Napakiak?
I don't know. So Petra's large note there on the screen for me is to tell me, hey, why didn't you ask about the smelts? So sorry for segueing away from our topic. And let me ask the listeners, where are the smelts at? Send me some photos. This is Coffee at KYUK, and our show notes and our rebroadcasts are also something that Petra and myself are very proud of. Each day we upload the show onto the web, and we include photos of whatever area we were talking about, generally submitted by people like Mike Carpenter, but we look for them from you. Send them to coffee@kyuk.org and include the person who took the photo, what the photo's of, and how it relates to what we talked about on the show today. And we'll try to definitely get those into the slideshow on our show notes. Very interested in seeing photos. Also, show ideas. If you have a guest you think we should have out, if you have an issue you'd like to see us address, especially if it relates to subsistence reporting, because that's kind of the theme throughout our show. We want to make sure that as the seasons develop, that we're keeping everybody informed and educating Grady, because I don't know a thing. I'm a newcomer. You know, I was asking you a little bit before we started talking on the air, Nicholas, how long you've been here in Bethel. You've been in Bethel for something like 15 years.
18, but you know, three of those were in Anchorage, so we just came back in 2011.
And what's your home, your hometown?
Kasikluk.
Ah, well, tell me about this time of year out there.
It's the same as here.
Well, what do you miss? If you had to reflect and take yourself on a time trip back, what do you miss about back then?
The hunting.
You don't get to do as much now, huh?
Not as much as I hoped I did.
Sure. Well, you know, working and keeping a family and being engaged in this capitalist economy that happens in these city hubs is a way different thing than being engaged in the subsistence economy that you're accustomed to. I can only imagine it. I don't understand it fully myself. And I can't imagine the sense of attachment to, you know, the ways of hunting and the way the seasons progress. I know that from some other experiences in my life that being in tune with nature as opposed to being in tune with the calendar, like just the you know, days of the week calendar, it's a much more freeing experience and resonant.
Yes.
Well, I hope the kids got to hear you say hello to them. Why don't we shout out to all of them one more time?
Okay, so Bray graduating today, Chelsea, Destiny, Sage, and Michael.
And I brought us back to that topic because I was curious. Does Bray have some big plans, or is he going to take a break? What's Bray? Or am I putting him on the spot? I don't want to. Maybe we keep things quiet because it's not a.
No, I think he's planning on taking a break. You know, finding work and
we'll think about
school later.
Bray, drop by the library and say hi to Grady. I'd love to give you a personal congratulations, and I'd love to personally congratulate everybody who's graduating today from BRHS and those KLA graduates from last week. I've seen some smiles from ear to ear on some of the kiddos coming through. You know, I had asked, and forgive me, Nicholas. I want to mention one other thing that's happening around town on Monday. Monday evening, there's going to be an award ceremony for the Best in the West. Best in the West is a business grant program that's now in its 10th year. It's a competition for local small entrepreneurs who are doing a business plan competition each year to seek funding that comes in through private donors or donors like Don and Golden, indeed AVCP, and it allows small businesses to get a leg up. They get a grant. If they win, they get a grant in an amount that they request, and they use that money to get their business started. We have some Bill's Meats, for example, is one of the early recipients of the that particular program. I'm having a loss for words. I should know all of them because I've actually helped that program before. But this Monday, the current round of winners will be honored and indeed given their award. That's going to be at the Cultural Center at, I think it's at 6 o'clock. It could be at 5:30. I just don't have the thing in front of me because I expected to have a guest in here. But that's being announced on Tundra Drums. Anybody who's interested in new business development or finding out about Best in the West for next year, that's not a bad place to go. Monday at 5:30 is when I think it is. I'll confirm that on the Tundra Drums messages later. That's the Best in the West Business Competition Award Ceremony. I'm Grady Deaton. I've been sitting here with Nicholas Hoover. Thank you, Nicholas, for joining us
today. Thanks for having me.
We can't make it happen without the work of Petra Harpik. She's the producer of the show. If you want to get in on the mix, give us a call at 543-3131 or email us at coffee@kyuk.org. Don't forget to be awesome to each other.